Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
God is good. God is faithful. What a great time of worship we had this morning. He is. We feel like we have a message that's really going to bless us, and maybe it's a reminder message, something that we all need. The title of our message is "The God of More Than Enough." El Shaddai is one of His names, which means the God of plenty, the God of more than enough. I want to thank you for your prayers for me. I had surgery this week, and I'm going to share with you it's a great testimony. I would be a fool and I would be dishonoring to God if I did not. I went in for eye surgery and they told me that, you know, it is advisable to be awake and so you can open and close your eyes, and I get that. I understand that. They gave me some Valium and then they were going to do some locals, and they managed to do the incisions, two on each eye, and suddenly the anesthesia quit working. It literally quit working. I was one. They had never seen that in the history of their operating in the operating room on a person. They have done this for many years, and it never happened to anyone but me. So I endured 22 stitches awake with no anesthesia. And I, the whole time, was screaming, "Help me, God, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus." The whole time, I would scream, they would start all over again, and I'd scream again. And you know, God's grace is more than enough. It's sufficient. And when I got home and was just so broken, because I thought, why didn't they call somebody in to put me to sleep? Why? What went wrong here? And I told Xander, I said, if it had been anybody else, because this guy saved my eyesight years ago, I would be contacting an attorney. But I'm not. And I just started, I was laying in bed, and it occurred to me, the suffering of the cross. I was like, I did not think I could stand another second. And all I could think about, Ken, was the cross. And I just started weeping. What He went through for the purpose of opening my eyes to His great love and all He had provided for us. And you know, Ken and I started talking about the God of more than enough, that He truly is. There's always more grace, more mercy, more help, more forgiveness, more love. God's well never runs dry. He always has more where that came from. So all I can think of is that John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." So God so agape'd the world, His unconditional love, that He gave His Son. And through the cross, we have everything. And if I was saying something this morning to us on a practical level, I would say, you came into this world with nothing. So where did all of these blessings come from? How did you get all this? I remember a book that Sandra and I used to read to Lewis, my grandson, called Too Much Stuff. Do you know that right now studies are being done that people have too much stuff and it's causing anxiety and depression in people? They're finding out that that is going to the top as one of the number one reasons for anxiety or depression is you have to manage your stuff, and they're actually giving classes now on decluttering your home because you've just got too much stuff. Where did that stuff come from? It came from God, because He gives us more than enough. And I am so thankful for all that God has given us. Psalm 68:19 says, "Blessed be the Lord our God, who daily loads us with benefits." These benefits are too many to count. They are more than we could ever think or imagine, that God, through the cross, provided all of this stuff for us. And our Heavenly Father, Ken, doesn't withhold any good thing from us. He is a good, good Father. I'll tell you a real quick story and hand this to Pastor Ken, who has things to share here. I realize that disobedience can stop the flow of blessing. But I remember many, many years ago, I told my sister Sandy we wanted to go somewhere. And I said, I'm going to. Now, back in the day, you got to understand $20 was $200. It was a lot. And so I told Sandy, I'm going to just go up to Dad, just bold me, and I'm going to ask him for $20 for just no reason. We just want to go out. I went and got $20. So Sandy said, I'm going too. I'm next. So she goes and she said, I wonder if Dad will give me $20. How many of you think he did? He did because he's a good, good father. And what he does for one, he will do for another. If God provides for Janice, God's going to provide for Frida. If he provides for Tony, he's going to provide for Dave. If he provides for Lily, he's going to provide for Leslie. Our God has enough. My dad had enough. Were we taking advantage of my dad? No. We were asking, and we were asking big. So I would like to ask you the question this morning. What would you ask God for? If you knew he was able, if you knew he was willing, and he loved you, I'm going to ask big.
Yeah, Jabez prayed, bless me indeed. That's encouraging that you can ask God to bless you. That you can even, so that religious spirit says, don't ask God for things. Don't bother him. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus said. Ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. So we're taught that kind of the squeaky wheel gets the oil in the kingdom of God, which means, hey, if you're landing a helicopter at night, you want lights, you want flares, you want to see. When God sees you waving your hands in the air, He can see you. He can spot you from heaven. And I always like to say about, you were talking about Dad and giving out money, that when I got older, he would just throw me his credit card. If I needed something, he goes, just go buy it. Now, you can't do that most. He couldn't throw her the credit card. Do you know why? Because they're saying when she hands the credit card, they're going to see it says Kenneth Bonner, and they're going to say, are you Kenneth Bonner? And you're not going to be able to use it, Pam. But when he gave me the credit card, and they said, do you have ID? This is Kenneth Bonner's card. I got lots of ID. I am Kenneth Bonner. Yep. Now, I was not Kenneth Bonner. They didn't know that was a different Kenneth Bonner, an older, wiser, richer Kenneth Bonner. But he had given me that authority. Do you see that? Whatever authority was on that card was transferred to me. Whatever authority Jesus has given all the authority, he's given you his name, hasn't he? The name of Jesus, just like I had the name and I had ID to prove it. Hallelujah. You've got ID to prove it. You belong to him. And you said a message to remind us of things. There is nothing new in the sun, but I'm telling you, when you go to the well, when you go to the word, you may not be seeing anything new, but you're being fed. You're still being fed. I mean, whatever I eat today, it's not going to be something I've never eaten before, but it's going to feed me, right? So maybe it's something I've eaten 1,000 times before, but it's fresh and it's good and it's the word. So if we want, first of all, we have to all remember that we belong to him. We have to not be distracted by all the things, the hoarding things. You know, you see hoarders, they can't throw away anything. We can't be distracted. We've got to realize that we belong to God. So we go to God with everything. We talk to God about everything. He's the Alpha, which means he should be the first place that we go to, and the Omega, the last place we go to. We shouldn't be waiting and looking for love in all the wrong places. There's an amazing computer store. It's called CompuSomething, but it's kind of in Darien. But if you really need specialized computer stuff, this is the one place, the store I know that has everything. I don't know of any other stores that have this sort of thing, not Best Buy or anything. So there's one store if you need a computer graphics card that's going to have 100 of them. But I guarantee you, if you were to start going from just driving around, stopping in every store you see, you could spend 8 hours and not find a store that sells computer graphics cards. You go to a hot dog stand, you got computer graphics cards? Nope. Go to Best Buy, do you have these cards? Nope. We don't got them. Why don't you try Target? Try Walmart? You're just thinking of stores, the corner store, the grocery store. Why can't you get this stuff everywhere? There is only one place to be fed, which is God and the kingdom of God. And when we're looking to the world to get things, we're not going to get what we're going to just get junk. We're going to have everything but what we need. We've got to go to the well, Pam. If the water's at the well doesn't come to you. You go to the well. You go to the well and you go to the Word. So the Word is a reminder and it's refreshing and it's amazing. We need a revelation. And I've said this 1,000 times before, but it is just, I'm sorry, it just, the greatest revelation other than your salvation is without Him, I am nothing. How much you need God, a revelation that I am desperate for God. I'm telling you that without God, you are nothing. You have no future. You are nothing. But watch this. Right now in your life, every meal that you eat is a blessing from the Father. Come on now. Every breath you take. The Bible says He breathed into man the breath of life and man became a living soul. And when people stop breathing, they stop living. And if you're breathing, it's because God breathed into us. That's amazing. Every breath. It's amazing. Do you know that every heartbeat that you're going to have is because God allows it? Because God designed it? Do you own anything in your home that's like 63 years old that still works? An air conditioner you've had for 63 years? You got a heating unit you've had for anyone got a car that's 63 years old? I'm 63 years old, and I can't believe that God has put within my body all sorts of systems of regulating to fight off disease, to fight off sickness, that I can see, that I can hear, that I can smell, that I can taste, that I can think. All these things is because God has blessed me. Now, I could just as easily tell you the things that are wrong, but I'm going to tell you for every wrong thing, there's a billion good things, and I believe that. I need God for my everything. And when I think about the world that's drowning and they're trying to cling on to things that will not save them, but a desperate person will cling on to anything. But I think of Paul and his group clinging onto the wood after the shipwreck. And imagine that you're in the water. When you're in the water, you're not on top of things, right? You found yourself in the water trying to survive, and the water's pushing you everywhere. But if there's a life jacket of the cross. Paul found these wooden beams, and they floated him to safety. There's a life jacket of the cross. And I was thinking of this. So I imagine that when life is in turmoil, I have this picture in my head that we're all in the water and we're being swept away, and we have no control where the water is bringing us. But if you grab onto the cross, right, and you go, I still don't feel like I have control, you're going wherever the cross takes you. That's the way I look at it. I don't know where I'm going, but I got my arms wrapped around the cross. That's the woman with the issue of blood. I don't know what's going to happen, but I got my arms around the feet of Jesus. The woman that anointed Jesus, I don't know what's happening in my life, but I'm at the feet of Jesus with my hands around Jesus' feet. The hem of His garment. So maybe you're in some turmoil in some waters. Maybe you know someone that has a terminal disease. Maybe you have a terminal disease. Maybe you have people in your life that your heart is broken, that they're away from you. Maybe you yourself need forgiveness. Maybe you yourself need miracles. God is a God of grace. And, you know, all my life I've read that in the Bible, may grace be unto you. And honestly, most of the times I have read that as a younger person, it was a throwaway. It's like, grace, whatever. I don't know what that, yeah, grace. But why does the Bible talk about that over and over again? Because we are such failed human beings that the guilt of our sin weighs heavily upon us. And the Bible reminds us over and over that God forgives our sins. That's what grace is. He's putting you back in a position of righteousness. You fall, he gets back up. You fall, he puts you right back up. So God is not short of miracles. And I want to tell you some truth here. God knows your name. He loves you. He's called you. He's marked you. He watches over you. Even Satan knew that with Job and said, you've put protection around him. Satan knew that God was a protector. And we read in the Bible that, beloved, I wish above all things that you would be in health and prosper. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be prospered. And he is the God that's more than enough. What does it mean, the God that's more than enough? When you want a glass of milk, you ever open the fridge and there's just like a little swallow left? And it's like, oh, come on. Or there's no milk at all. But when you open the fridge and there's 10 gallons of milk, that's more than enough. God, it doesn't just supply your needs. He provides everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. He is more than enough.
I believe that it's our fault when we don't have the blessings that we are entitled to through the work of the cross. It's not God's fault that I heard the story, and you've probably heard it too, that when we get to heaven someday, there's going to be a storehouse, his storehouse, and we're going to be able to look around and see all of the things and all of the blessings that we could have had while we were here on earth, but there was a reason we didn't have them. And we know that salvation is a free gift. And even though we're God's children, he's a good, good father. He knows how much to give us and how much not to give us. God does not, I want to tell you a couple things about the blessings of God. There are a couple things that can hinder the blessings of God. One of them is sin and disobedience will stop the flow of blessing. God is not obligated to bless unrighteousness. He is not obligated to bless his disobedient children. Our Father, Ken and I and Sandy and Laurie, our Father would not have given us blessings when we were disobedient. God knows how much we can handle. And another reason we don't always receive God's blessings is we have not because we ask not. Because on our end, we're not asking God. I want to tell you something about Satan. He wants you to not speak to your mountain. He wants you to not ask God. He wants to tell you a lie and tell you you really don't need to bother God with that. It's too little. Or you don't need to bother God with that. That's too big. He might not do that. But all of that is a lie. And what Ken said, God will do it. He's not short on miracles. I want to say, if God will do it for anyone, he will do it for you. We all have, who is God's favorites? I always tell people I'm God's favorite, and they kind of look at me strange, and I'm like, and so are you. Why can you say that? Because we all have the favor of God through the cross. We, like Joseph, why would he have Joseph as a favorite? That's, God is no respecter of persons. And God will provide for all of us. And I do believe we need to ask big. But I know that obedience entitles us to some of the benefit package that God has given to us as obedient children of the King. And I know this year that I have a lot of things I'm asking God for. And they're not small things by any stretch of the imagination. They are big things. I have a friend in Florida, you know, that I just sent a healing cloth that we all prayed for here. Sylvia, she is an amazing woman of God that I know through David Curtis and Lavera, and she's battling cancer. And I'm believing for Sylvia's healing and standing that God's going to do that, because I know if God did it for Wanda, I just know he'll do it for Sylvia too. I believe that with all that is in me, so I'm going to ask. Obedience is one of the keys to us, God responding to us. But I do think that another thing that is a key to us receiving what belongs to us is thankfulness for what we already have. I am thankful for this week. I'm thankful to be here. I am thankful. Are you not thankful that God has brought us this far and that we're breathing and that we're here and we're together? There's an old song that we don't sing. We probably should sing it. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Do you know what a cure that is? for I don't have this and God didn't do that. Do you know what a cure that would be if we would sing that song every day or write it down? There is no song, by the way, count your problems, name them one by one. See what God has done. It's count your blessings. And if you don't think you have more than enough, then I have a challenge for you. Are you ready for the challenge? Some of you who think I don't quite have, I might have enough, Pastor Pam, but not more than enough. I want you, whoever, if you're ever tempted with that, I want you to find a pen. I'll loan you this one. And get a notebook. Go to the Walmart and get a notebook. And I want you to start with pants. How many? Count them in your closet. Let's go on to shirts. Let's go on to shoes. Let's go on. Come on. Let's continue on through the house. Let's go to your kitchen now. Let's go to the canned goods section. Let's go to your freezer. You know what? By the way, here's an announcement. You need to take care of that freezer because it's overflowing. Really? How many of you went to the garbage this week and you had so much food that you kind of threw some of it away, Ken? You kind of got rid of some of it. Come on. We have been given more than enough, yet we came into this world with absolutely nothing. And look what God has done for us. He is the God of more than enough. And just when I think I'm blessed, God sends me more blessings. I can remember a time in my life when I had prayed for something really, really, really big. It was about someone who had an addiction. And I just, and you know, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I prayed some more. And I prayed for years, 12 years almost to be exact. And I just never thought that would ever happen. And I quit praying. I just kind of quit praying like, well, people have choices. And when God answered that prayer, he did so in a supernatural way. And on a day when I was not even expecting it and told me, I heard you the first time. And in my time and in my way, I am your provider. You know, the name of God, El Shaddai is the God who provides. But he provides more than I could ever possibly think, that I could possibly dream of. He is truly who he says he is.
So Pastor Pam said that one of the reasons that we often have not is because we ask not. And I don't think we would ever say that if the Word of God didn't say that. But it did say that. And so the examples that we've already been through this morning, the woman with the issue of blood had a major issue of major problem. She had a mountain in her life, but Jesus didn't come to her, did he? Jesus didn't come to the woman with the issue of blood. She went to him. Now, there are times that Jesus went to people, but we also see so many examples in the Bible, and I actually made a study of this, where it said Jesus would have walked by them. It actually says Jesus was going to walk by them, but they stopped. Right? The disciples on the road to Emmaus stopped Jesus. That's called arresting. When you stop someone, you arrest them. You're under arrest. We need to put Jesus under arrest. We need to find a way to stop him. The Jesus is walking by in a multitude, and there's a blind man. I got to stop him. I don't know how to stop him. I'm going to scream out, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. He was making a spectacle of himself. Anyone got one of those megaphones? Anyone got a sound system? Jesus! Jesus heard him. Jesus stopped. He heard the cry of faith. He heard the cry of a broken heart. And wow, it caused him to turn. It caused him to turn around. You know that even when Jesus was walking on the water, I believe that one of the Gospels says he was going to walk on by. But they stop. So you have to stop Jesus. We have not because we ask not. You said you asked Dad for $20 and he gave you $20. And then he decided to ask for $40 and they got $40. But guess what? If you had never asked, what would have happened? Nothing. I love the story of Solomon when God said, what do you want? What do you want? And he didn't want things at first. He wanted wisdom from God, so he was known as the wisest person ever. He's an idiot. Because the wisest man ever said, God has shown me these three things. Don't get a bunch of gold. Don't have foreign wives. Don't have a bunch of cows. So Solomon said, here's my plan. Let's get a bunch of gold, a bunch of cows, and a bunch of... Solomon, you're the one that wrote that. You are the one that wrote that. And look at the human condition. Here is this man that has been blessed more than Bill Gates. He's the richest man in the world. He's Solomon. He owns everything. And when he sins, God says, would have given you more. When David sinned, remember when David sinned? He's the king. He has everything. And he took the one thing that he couldn't have, which is weird. That's the lure of the world. The world wants to get you into something where God says, I've got things, amazing things for you. So when the desire of our heart cannot be for a Lexus, when our desire is for souls, when our desire is to see the lost saved, when our desire is to see salvation in all of its form, deliverance and things like that, what do you want from God, Esther? The king is asking, Esther, tell me what you want. She could have said, I want a gold chariot. I want gold wheels. I want the horses to have gold. I want the horseshoes to be gold. And Solomon would have said, one gold Rolls Royce coming up. That's what she would have got. What did she ask for? What did Esther ask for? You can have anything. Could I have dinner with you? Could I have dinner with you? Could I just hang out with you? Could we have a dinner together? How that must have pleased his heart when what she wanted was more of him. And when our heart lines up with God and we're praying for more of the Holy Spirit, I pray that so often for myself and for the church. I think of Elijah calling down fire from heaven. That was quite destructive fire. But I ask God for fire to fall down from heaven right on my position. And I know I've shared this before, these Vietnam movies where they're overrun with the enemy and they say, we're calling in a strike mission. Send the missiles. And they give them coordinates. And they go, that's right where you're at. He goes, I know it. We are so overrun with the enemy. Let the fire fall on all of us. I want the fire of God. You say, aren't you afraid of the fire of God? I want the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fire, where Jesus is walking and it's the fire of God, which may be hotter than the fire of man, but they were not harmed by the fire. Don't be afraid of fire, because you won't be like heaven. The floor of heaven is on fire. There are scriptures that talk about but it's the fire of God. It's not a fire that burns. It's a purifying fire. It's a holy fire. It's a fire that caused why does the feet of Jesus like reflective? They're brazen bronze, right? It's because the floor of heaven's on fire. it's amazing the things that God has prepared for us. So all the blessings that God has for us, Pam said at the beginning that this is more of a reminder, so there's nothing new. But so I want to ask you, what are the blessings? What's the blessings? What's the blessings of God? Because Psalms 103 says this, bless the Lord. I like that. Before we get blessed, we bless him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We have to worship him. Praise God. Don't just be asking for things. Start your prayers with, how do I start my prayers? By worshiping him. When they asked Jesus, how should we pray? He began to worship the Lord, to tell them to worship God. So let me finish the scripture. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Well, what are those benefits? They're all in here, this communion. These benefits, that's why we have communion, so we don't forget. Well, what does it do? It forgives all your sins. That's the blood part. And then we have the body of Jesus Christ. And by his stripes, you were healed. No one said it would be easy. I mean, you got to open that top. But no one said it would be easy in the kingdom too. We're expecting to go through tribulation, but we're also expecting the God that is more than enough. And as I turn this back to Pam, I want you to think of this. God is not far from you. He is just waiting for the cry of your heart. God is, he hears your cry. He knows your heart. He is not far.
Well, I don't usually tell you why we kind of choose the messages we choose, but this was so heavy on my heart. The other day when I was recovering, it just hit me, the goodness of God and how much we have, how much grace and how much mercy and how much healing we've received and so much, and I was meditating on that. And my nurse, her name is Sandra, and my cleaning lady, her name is also Sandra, was going through my cabinets while I was recovering and cleaning cabinets. And every few minutes, she would complain and cry out, and she would say, what on earth do you and Dad have 5 bottles of barbecue sauce for? There are 25 cream soups. Are you going to open a soup kitchen? And she would, you know, she would say, 3 boxes of oatmeal? You guys don't even eat oatmeal. You know, and she was talking about all that we had, all the provision that we had, and saying, you know, what are you even going to do with all of this? And all I could think of was, we have more than enough. We have more than enough if we should ever, you know, read it. We have a supply like the Joseph storehouse. But in order to prove to you that God is the God of more than enough, we have a couple stories from the Bible we're just going to very quickly go through. I'm going to go through one. Pastor Ken's going to go through one. My favorite, one of my favorite miracles in the Bible, it's the first one is actually the Pool of Bethesda, but is the first miracle that Jesus ever did at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, because it up until that time, Jesus had performed healings, but now he's going to perform a miracle of provision. And I love that it's at a wedding because Jesus is all about weddings and fun, and we're on our way to a wedding, are we not? Where we're all invited, okay? So at Cana of Galilee, Jesus and his mother and family attended this wedding, and they ran out of wine, which is another discussion. Wine is not of the devil, okay? So that's another discussion. So they ran out of wine, the good wine. And so Mary notices the problem, and she comes to Jesus, and she tells him about the problem, and he basically says something very unusual. He says, my time has not come yet. However, if you study this deeper, that's a challenge. That's a challenge statement, my time has not come yet. But Mary knew what to say. Nothing. You don't say nothing when the master says, my time has not come yet. So she didn't answer him, but she answered she told the servants, she turned to the servants and she said, I want you to do whatever he tells you to do. In other words, you don't have to answer me. I know all about you. You are a miracle baby. I know all about you. So why did Jesus say this to Mary? Basically, this ain't my problem, Mom. It's because he was about to reveal who he really is to his people, the God of more than enough. You see, it was the responsibility. If you don't know history, I'm going to give you a history lesson. It was the responsibility of the bridegroom to provide the best wine. Did you catch that? The best wine had to come from the bridegroom. They ran out of wine at all. I want to tell you something. We will always run out of wine without the bridegroom providing, okay? So Jesus instructed them to fill the 6 stone water pots, which represented the law, with water. It's the best we can do, water. And then go give it to the master of the feast. And they were shocked and said, this is the best wine ever. You've saved the best for last. And Jesus, the water turned into wine. But this is why. He was proving, I'm the bridegroom. You see that guy over there, that groom? Not good enough. You need a bridegroom who can provide. And when he does provide, he's going to provide more than enough. Now, let me tell you something about the wine that Jesus provided at the wedding. It was each pot represented 20 to 30 gallons of best wine ever. That equals 1,000 vintage bottles of the best wine. You couldn't even buy wine like Jesus can. And that's why we can't. We need the new wine. That's why the wine of the world won't help us, because it's not the good wine. will run out at some point, but the new wine, the good wine, comes from the true bridegroom. 1,000 bottles of wine. Did they need 1,000 bottles of wine, Ken, at that wedding that night? No. He was proving, I am the bridegroom, and if you need me to provide, I'm going to provide more than enough. And that's what he does for you and I. He's still, the wine is still flowing today. We're about to receive it today in the form of Holy Communion. I'm telling you, he's the God of more than enough. Please ask him for whatever you need because he will give it to you. Pastor Ken's going to share another story where he's proving, I'm the God of more than enough.
I am, but I like that water to wine story. Why do I like that? Reminds me of the Old Testament when he struck the water and it turned into blood, right? Because that's what this is. It's the blood. The things that Jesus said and did made no sense so many times. Jesus said, I'm going to take this mud and I'm going to spit on it and then rub this mud on someone's eyes. Does that make any sense? Jesus wants us to fill these water pots up with water and we're going to try to pass off. You know, let's just humor him. Humor Jesus. Mary said to do what he said. Let's just do it. So the other story that's such a good story of when there was such lack and Jesus was the provider, have you ever thought to yourself, I need to pray about that, but have you ever thought, this problem is too big, I won't even pray about it? Which is funny that we would think this is too big for God, you know, which is exactly what Mary and Martha did. Well, if you'd gotten here earlier, you could have done something. You could have done the miracle of the healing, but she's dead. You know, this is too, let's not even bother the master. Why bother the master any further? You know, don't bother the master any further. So they ran out of food. And this is when the multitude, in the book of John, and Jesus went with the disciples. He had a multitude of people. He'd been preaching, been teaching. And now they don't have anything to eat. Think about this from a practical standpoint. When there are thousands of people to feed and there's nothing to eat. Philip asked this question, or Jesus asked the question to Philip, I mean. Jesus said, because they were asked, where are we going to get the money for this? And Jesus is asking him, well, how are we going to feed these people? Hey, Philip, we got a little problem here. How do we feed these people? And Philip's thinking about it from a purely human standard. And he said 200 pennies worth would not be enough for even one bite for each person. So he figures it out in his head that it's impossible. And Andrew's thinking about this, but Jesus is wanting him to think past the natural and realize to think of Jesus as a supernatural, more than what man can do. And so they find that there's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Basically, we got 5 Chick-fil-A sandwiches. We got a couple of biscuits. We have some fish fillets. But how is that going to help us? But I like the fact that at least they're trying something. Well, we got this. We don't have much. In order for Jesus to do this miracle, it also required the cooperation of a boy. That boy had to say, you want my lunch? Let me get this right, prophet. You want me to take the little meal I have left and feed you? Because me and my son are dying. That's the Old Testament. I just jump stories. You want me to take what I have and give it to you? And here's this little boy. You want me to take, I'm the only one that brought food, and I got to give up my food? So he gave his all. And so Jesus was able to multiply what they had. Elijah and Elisha, when they wanted the double portion, he wanted the cloak to have that double. That's all they had was that cloak. God is speaking to Moses. And God asked Moses this question, what's in your hand? I'll use what's in your hand. What's in your hand right now? What's in your hand right now? Some of you, as I look across the church, what's in your hand is the word of God. So when God asked Moses, what's in your hand? You've got the Word of God in your hand. Let's say you have nothing in your hands right now, and you say, I have nothing. Liar, your hands have been anointed to lay hands on people. Your hands are anointed themselves. Well, I'm excited we're going to have communion today.
Amen. God is so faithful to provide, and he does provide more than enough. In that story Ken was talking to you about, when it was all said and done, you know they had 12 baskets left over. Did you know they had more than enough that day? And that 12 baskets represents everybody on the entire earth, all the 12 tribes. All the 12 tribes.
Let me throw something in about more than enough. So here's our communion for today. Here's a tray. We got another tray behind that tray.
Here you go.
And we got, I wonder if we have enough communion for
anybody?
200 people here. There's enough.
More than enough. He is the God. Let's stand. Alan's going to come and lead us in communion. He has a miracle with your name on it. Whatever you're needing God and asking God for, he has it. Ask big.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.